Been in a session with another Mandy, so it's a real honor to me to have a namesake here. Well, thank you all for attending. I gather by the number of people here that a lot of you have struggled like I have with trying to motivate mothers for HPV vaccination. So I'm really happy to tell you today about a study that we're doing that I hope will at least try to partially address this issue. And as Jill mentioned, I do have a disclosure. Merck has no input into my research. They don't support my research at all. So everybody here, I think, is well aware of the low HPV vaccine utilization rates in this country, and you've probably seen this multiple times during this conference. These are the data from the NIST showing over the last few years use of the HPV vaccine, getting started with the series, meaning at least one dose on the left-hand side, and completing the series, at least having all three doses on the right-hand side. And you can see that we are well below any national vaccination targets. So as of 2009, only about 27% of adolescent females in this country had completed the three-dose series. And we also know from national studies and from some of our own work that some groups have even lower vaccination rates than others. So, for example, the NIST study showed that there was race-based disparities, with blacks being significantly less likely to complete the three-dose series than whites. And we've shown in some of our own work that there are also age-based disparities. So, for example, 11 to 12-year-olds who are the preferred target age for HPV vaccination are significantly less likely to start the vaccine series than older adolescents. We also know from our own work that series initiation seems to be a really important step in the overall HPV vaccination process. And you can imagine that there is really differential types of decision making when a mother is thinking about starting the HPV vaccine series rather than completing it. So starting the series is really a question of, do I support this vaccine or not? Finishing the series is more a question of, you know, am I willing to suffer the inconvenience of coming in for additional visits to get these other doses into my daughter? And what we found in our own work looking at vaccine utilization in a defined population over time is that a lot of the disparities that we see for series initiation, particularly those related to age, medical specialty, and insurance, seem to disappear when we look at the third dose. So said another way, what that means is that once people have started the series, a lot of the disparities seem to go away, and they're equally likely based on age, medical specialty, and insurance coverage, at least in the population that we study, to complete this series. So we really felt like series initiation might be an important target for some intervention work to try to increase utilization of the vaccine. We've also done a lot of work trying to explore the reasons why mothers do or do not have their daughters vaccinated. And this is a list, a partial list of some of the things that we have found, and this has been, similar types of results have been found across a lot of different populations and over a lot of different time frames. So I think we now have a fairly good idea of some of the core reasons why mothers don't want to have their daughters vaccinated. And they have to do with some basic things like low perceived level of infection for their daughters, feeling like they don't have enough knowledge about the vaccine, a lot of concerns about vaccine safety, some belief that HPV vaccines are not really that effective at preventing disease. And then some things that tend to motivate mothers are things like having had a personal experience with HPV-related illnesses, having a strong physician recommendation. There's also concerns that inhibit mothers' motivations, such as being worried that their daughter will become sexually active once they get the vaccine, some concerns about cost. And one of the unique things about adolescent vaccines is there's issues of locus of control. Who's deciding what to get, when to get the vaccine? Is it the parent, the adolescent, or both? So ours and others' work have shown that maternal attitudes, many of the attitudes that I just listed, which wasn't a full list, might actually be changeable. We found in some qualitative work that we did that both non-vaccinating and vaccinating mothers had very significant concerns about vaccine safety. But depending on how these were weighed up against the perceived risk of infection was really a main driver of whether or not a mother decided to get her daughter vaccinated. So it wasn't that the mothers who ended up vaccinating had no concept or concerns about vaccine safety. It was really the balance between vaccine safety and what the benefits to the vaccine might be. So this led us quite a while ago to think about maybe education as being the key to increasing vaccination rates. And this was a study that I did in the pre-licensure vaccine era that actually try to address this issue by providing educational materials to parents and seeing if this would influence their intention to have their children vaccinated against HPV. And this was a randomized controlled trial that was embedded within a mailed survey. So at the time, very little was known about HPV within the public domain. There hadn't been a lot of marketing going on. And so we provided the control group with a very brief one-paragraph introductory information about HPV and the vaccine. And the intervention group got a two-page brochure that was modeled on the VIS sheets from the CDC that provided much more comprehensive information. And what we found in this study was that the HPV information sheet really improved knowledge about the vaccine, but that increased knowledge had no effect on parents' intention to have their children vaccinated. And we found similar results using a sort of same type of study design in other populations, for example, in college-age women who are attending a university health clinic. So all of that brings us to the background of what brought us to the study of where we are today. And so just to summarize kind of the key points, what we knew before we started the study that I'm going to talk about today is that mothers had very diverse reasons for not vaccinating, many of which seemed like they might be changeable. We knew that untailored print materials, meaning the VIS-like sheet that we did before, provided little change in attitudes for parents about the HPV vaccine. And we knew from other work that vaccine series initiation seemed like a really important target area for doing some intervention work to improve vaccine utilization. So that led us to the question for the research study that I'm going to describe today, which is whether or not more highly tailored educational materials could actually improve maternal willingness for HPV vaccination. And I'll tell you a little bit more about what that means in just a second. So before I get into the study, I want to just briefly mention the difference between targeting and tailoring, because these words tend to be used interchangeably, but they are actually mean something slightly different. So targeted information really means information that's different based on a large population level characteristic. So for example, giving different information to men versus women or adults versus teens. Tailoring, which is what we did in this study, is actually providing information that's based on individual level concerns. So this means from person to person, the information that's provided will differ depending on what that individual's concerns or beliefs are. And because this is a much more detailed type of intervention, it's more intensive and also more expensive and more difficult to do. So why did we want to try tailored messaging for adolescent vaccination? Well, as I showed you earlier, we didn't feel like non-tailored educational materials were all that helpful, and many mothers and parents seem to have attitudes that put them kind of on the fence about whether or not they wanted to be vaccinated. There's also been some studies that have shown that tailoring has been very effective in other preventive health behaviors. So, for example, in adherence with asthma medication adherence and for sort of like a chronic disease example. And for more of a preventive disease example, tailoring has been shown to be effective for increasing compliance with colorectal cancer screening and breast cancer screening, for example. And there's really been little work done using message tailoring in adolescent vaccination, so that was our interest for this study. And so the name of our study is VaxVax-HPV, and it's a randomized controlled trial. So the intervention group receives a two-page educational brochure that's individually tailored to these mothers' specific concerns, and I will go through in much more detail of what that looks like. The control group in the study receives the VIS sheet on HPV that's freely available from the CDC, since this sort of is an example of what we sort of do as usual care, at least in the clinics where this trial was implemented. So we initially used a passive recruitment strategy. This is a copy of the flyer that we had posted up in primary care waiting rooms. And you can see that we really tried to use a very broad definition of concerns. So it's just a kind of a basic question, like, do you have concerns about vaccinating your daughter against HPV? And in a moment, I'll show you the eligibility questions that we used to really screen mothers to make sure that we had the right population. And we offered mothers a $40 incentive. We actually ended up doing both a passive recruitment strategy, and then later on we had a research assistant go into clinic waiting rooms to try and recruit additional mothers, because the way that the study was set up, we had to have mothers initially come to our research office, which we felt was a big barrier to having participation, because it's actually a very simple study. It only takes about 15 minutes to do. So the eligibility criteria were the mom had to be 18 years or older. They had to be self-identified as a primary caretaker, parent, or guardian of a daughter who was between the ages of 11 to 15. And we specifically focused on the younger adolescents because we felt like mothers of adolescents in this age range had different attitudinal barriers than mothers of older adolescents. So that's also an important group, but not one that we focused on in this study. We also made sure that the daughter had not received any doses of the HPV vaccine, again getting to this issue of it's a different decision-making process between starting the vaccination series and completing. And then we had one question that tried to assess their willingness for vaccination. So if the mother said that they didn't want her daughter to get vaccinated or they were unsure if they wanted her daughter to be vaccinated in the next 6 months, they were considered eligible for the study. So the way that the study worked is all mothers, both in the intervention and control, underwent a pre-intervention questionnaire that covered 21 items that were potential barriers to HPV vaccination. So these were some of the things that were on the list I showed you earlier, like concerns about sexual disinhibition or safety. We also asked some questions about demographics, and those are listed here. And we had a few key questions about some past history experiences that we thought might be important. So, for example, if they had refused any other vaccines for their daughter in the past, and whether or not they'd had any experience, either they themselves or somebody close to them, with HPV-related diseases like abnormal pap smears, cervical cancer, or genital warts. So what happens in the intervention is there's this nifty thing called a tailoring engine, which is basically a computer program that kind of works behind the scenes in real time and takes the information that people input into their pre-intervention questionnaire and accesses this thing called a message library, which is what we developed. And depending on what the mothers identify as their top barriers, that's the type of information that gets accessed from the message library. And I'll give you an example of that in just a minute. We also were able to tailor on a variety of other things. So there's some image-based tailoring on the self-reported race, and there's also tailoring based on past vaccination behavior, past history of HPV-related diseases, daughter's name, and the number of children. And this will all become obvious in a moment what all this means. So here are some examples from the message library. If the mother in the study scored very highly in agreement with a concern that HPV vaccines were not safe, then the tailoring system would access the message library and pull out the little blurb that's titled Vaccines and Short-Term Health Effects. Or if the mother thought that she was very concerned about giving the vaccine would encourage her daughter to have sex, the message library would instead pull out the little blurb that's titled Giving the Wrong Message About Sex. And so for each of the barriers, we had a corresponding little piece in the message library that would go along with the barriers. And of course, because some mothers have more than three barriers to HPV vaccination, we had to come up with a strategy for what we would do if mothers scored many barriers high. And so these are the way that we ordered the different things that could be pulled out of the message library. This was just a pilot study, so we kind of had a guess on some of these, which would be more likely to be important than less likely to be important. I think in future iterations of this study, we would probably go a little bit more in-depth in trying to figure out a little bit more specifically what the potential order of this should be. So here's an example of two of the tailored interventions showing how the differences in the tailoring happens. So you can see that these are different self-reported races. The mom on the left said she was white, and the mom on the right said she was black. There's different information provided. So the mother on the left had a lot of concerns about her daughter being too young for the vaccine, and the mother on the right had concerns about vaccine efficacy. And then throughout the text, there's tailoring based on the daughter's first name. So you can't read this, but on the left-hand side, it says, you told us that you think Olivia is too young to receive the vaccine. And the other areas also are her name inserted in there. On the right, it says, however, getting, I think her name's Jennifer, vaccinated will reduce her risk of cervical cancer by 70%. And then there's a backside of this as well, which I didn't show you, but that also is tailored. So when we were doing this study, our main outcome that we were looking at was change in vaccination intention before and after viewing the educational material, which was either the tailored material or the VIS. And we had three questions to assess vaccination intention, which is basically if the vaccine was available for the daughter either today, in the next 6 months, or in the next year, how likely would you be to have her vaccinated? And this is an 11-point scale that mothers could rate their likelihood of having their daughter vaccinated. We did some statistics initially to try to figure out what our sample size was going to be, and so we ended up with sort of the standard alpha and beta coefficients that people typically use in these types of studies, needing about 36 participants per each arm, so we just rounded up to having 80 people in each arm of the study. And as a secondary outcome, we wanted to look at vaccination rates, because obviously that's the most important outcome from any type of intervention study, is what actually happens with people using the vaccine. Measuring vaccination intention is nice, but what you really care about is, are these vaccines getting into people's arms? And so we were able to use our electronic medical record to access vaccination information, and then as a second level of assessment, we had the ability to call the mothers directly if we didn't see any records in our EMR to confirm whether or not a vaccine dose had been given. So the setting for this study was all the primary care pediatric and family medicine clinics within the University of Michigan system. So there's 9 PEDS offices and 7 family medicine offices. And then we also had a few people that came into the study based on our posting on the U of M's clinical research informational website, where people can search for research studies that they might want to participate in. So I'm going to show you the results. These are in progress. The study is not done yet, but I think the results are encouraging. So in terms of recruitment, we had 53 mothers who called in, and of these, 42 were deemed eligible based on our eligibility criteria, and 35 of the 42 mothers actually were able to come into our office and complete the study. We also recruited an additional 13 mothers from the waiting rooms of these primary care clinics, so our total sample size at this point is about a little over half of what we wanted. We're at 48 mothers so far. And this just shows their demographics. Basically, the main gist here is that there's little difference between the control and intervention groups in terms of demographics. Because this is a randomized controlled trial, and so parents were randomly allocated to control or intervention, we don't at this point have equal numbers of people in the control versus the intervention group, but this will even out as we recruit more people. But you can see there's really little differences in terms of the differences in race, so most of the mothers are white, very few differences in terms of marital status, and the average age is the same. There's also about a third to 40% of mothers who have ever refused another recommended vaccine for their daughter, and this is mainly things like flu and varicella. And you can see that there's a high proportion of mothers in this sample who have had an experience with some type of HPV-related disease. And I think in part this is high because we asked the mothers, have you or anyone close to you ever had this experience? So they could have had a friend who had an abnormal pap smear or something like that, and they might have said yes to this question. So we looked at our outcome assessment, and we found that the 3 questions that we asked had very good internal reliability, meaning that they all seemed to kind of hang together, so we were able to use them as a scale measure. And so this is our main result that we've seen, that we are looking at so far. So I want to just point you to this bottom row here in the table. So you can see that the change in vaccination intention is actually higher in the intervention group than in the control group by about half a point on the scale. And this result is not yet statistically significant, but remember our study was actually powered to detect a 2-point difference in vaccination intention, and we didn't really know what type of vaccination intentional change we might see in our study. But I think if we look a little bit deeper into the results, they're a little bit more exciting than what I just showed you. So the thing that I was most excited about was the mean intentional change at 1 year, which actually is a significant difference in mean intentional change by almost 1 point. And it's, I think, important to look at not only the change in vaccination intention, but where on the scale the vaccination intention starts and ends up. So what I mean by this is in the control group who got the VIS, they started out with their intentional change, with their vaccination intention before they viewed the VIS pretty neutral. So this is an 11-point scale, 5 is right in the middle, and their average is 4.59. After they viewed the VIS, they went up to 5.7 on average, so still pretty much in the neutral category. However, in the intervention group, they started out at about the same area, 4.48 was their mean, but afterwards they finished up much more in the positive end of the spectrum, which to me indicates that they might actually be more likely to go ahead and get the vaccine since they're sort of out of that neutral category. So our preliminary conclusions from this are maybe tailoring works, and it's possible that there may be an effect on people's intention that varies depending on the time frame that we're asking about whether or not they would want to have their daughter vaccinated, meaning that maybe these types of interventions have more of an effect on longer-term intentions to vaccinate than shorter term, which actually leads us to question whether or not our follow-up time in this particular study is going to be adequate, because we were planning on assessing vaccination utilization 3 months after the intervention. So obviously we have limitations. There's an incomplete sample at this point, and we have a low proportion of mothers from minority backgrounds who many studies have shown have slightly different concerns about vaccination than non-minority mothers. And of course we haven't evaluated vaccine receipt yet, which is the most important outcome that we're interested in. But I'm hoping that this study will continue to at least provide some positive results. The benefit of using this type of intervention is that it can be scaled up using a web-based platform, and so it can be implemented in a large population of people for relatively little cost. And we're actually doing a lot of other tailored messaging types of intervention works right now. So we have a 4-year CDC-funded grant that's looking at using educational tailoring for all the adolescent vaccines with and without a reminder recall component. And then we have some additional studies in college-age women and in mothers attending cervical cancer and mammography visits looking at tailoring for improving maternal intention for HPV vaccination of their daughters. And we just started up a study looking at using this type of method to improve maternal intention for MMR vaccination among mothers of much younger children. So thank you very much for your attention, and happy to take questions later.